My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And at night, but I find no rest. Let's pray. God, today, as we look into your word, enlighten our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit. Teach us how to listen to the word you want us to hear, and show us how to obey that word. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. The political always becomes personal. And the political always denies the person. The political always becomes personal, but the political also denies that it's personal. A few weeks ago on Ascension Sunday, we talked about, as the disciples watched Jesus ascend, there were two men in white who said, "Men of Galilee, why do you continue to look towards heaven?" And the very next week, during Pentecost, we talked about how that it was the gift of the Spirit that drew their attention down from heaven and shot it like a slingshot out among the people. And our view of the relationship between humanity and God switched from vertical to horizontal. And then on Trinity Sunday, we learned about, with the incarnation, how that vertical and horizontal relationship where they meet is where the personal meets the communal. It's where that which is so real only to me in my personal relationship to God, only there in that moment, can it also branch us out into the communal? And that our very personal can become corporate. This story today is a powerful story. It is a story of an individual man, a crazy naked man that lived in a cemetery. Sounds like something out of a Harper Lee novel. But this crazy naked man that everybody knew was there but wanted to ignore, probably because they were afraid of him, they had to chain him so he didn't hurt himself or hurt others. Man that was so traumatized by the demons that were in him. It's a story of the healing of that one individual man. But the way Luke tells this story, and I've mentioned this to you before, Luke, who wrote Luke and Acts, is a great storyteller. And he uses words on purpose. So for us, we might miss the second level or layer of this story that Luke is telling about this poor man, this one individual whom God healed. But when Jesus said, "Who are you?" the man didn't give us his name, because it wasn't him that spoke. It was the oppressive demons that were pushing him down, those outside forces that were traumatizing him. They gave their name, and their name was Legion. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but to those living in Galilee, at about AD 85, Legion had one meaning: 6,000 oppressive Roman soldiers. That's what a legion was. A legion was 6,000 oppressive Roman soldiers who could walk into your home at any time they wanted to and take anything they wanted from you. And if you crossed them in the street, they could kill you. They were in charge. They were an oppressive army from the outside that had come into that region and conquered it. Luke was written somewhere around the mid-80s. In 72, the Jerusalem was conquered and crushed, and the temple was destroyed, and all of this area was occupied by a Roman army. Particularly, the 10th Regio of the Roman army. They had a banner back then, right? So everybody had a banner, so you knew who they were. And on every banner, there was a symbol, because nobody read, or very few of them could read. So you had to have a big symbol, a picture, to tell everybody who it was that was in charge. So when this 10th Regio conquered all of this area, their banner was flown everywhere. And on the banner was a pig. A wild boar was the symbol of the conquering army of that area. Somewhere in the 60s, during the time of all this conflict, in the area of the Gadarenes, in an area called the Decapolis, there was a bit of an uprising. And so in order to quash it down, that occupying army came in and killed over 1,000 men and their families. Think about that for this small region that probably didn't have more than 15,000 people in it. 1,000 men and their families were slaughtered by an oppressive outside force, and they were buried in a cemetery that a few years later had a crazy guy living in it. Can you imagine what kind of traumas perhaps this man went through? Can you imagine what kind of experience he had? I'm not denying today that there's something called demons. I'm not denying that does or did exist. I'm not denying any of that. But I'm saying, look at the picture. Because sometimes demons aren't just spirits, but they're real live outside oppressive forces. We don't know what caused the trauma to this man. But when Luke tells the story, I promise you, Luke wanted us to know that it wasn't just about this one man. It was a bigger political situation. There was the oppression of an entire community as well. But one of the things that I find most fascinating about this story is that we never learn his name. And that's what I meant when I said that the political always becomes personal. And the political always wants to deny the person. Because when we quantify things as traumatic or addictive, and we say, that's just the crazy guy in the cemetery, we don't give him the dignity of a name. But we have categorized him as something else. That's just the drug addict who begs for money on the corner. That's just a young girl who's a runaway. I want to read you a poem by a man named Andrew King. And it's a modern take on this story. And it's called I Am Legion. I am the lost one trapped in depression. I am the broken one trapped in my rage. I am the hurting soul chained to addiction. I am the self-harmer abused at a young age. I am the many-named victim of madness. My humanness, naked, nowhere to hide. Drowning like flotsam in cold seas of sadness. Racked by despair until bits of me die. Haunted by fear or strange inner voices, tortured by dark thoughts in a pitiless tide. Blame me, shame me. And what other choices? Fear me, ignore me. Let my needs slide. Gerasene brother, when you met the Christ who banished the illness into the swine, your healing came without judgment or price. Mercy itself helped bring rightness of mind. But note, still the fear of those who keep score, finding you clothed, sitting calm and at peace. Madness is feared, but mercy is feared even more. It's Christ, not Legion, who was asked there to leave. For you see, at the end of the story, when Jesus heals the man, the people in the area are afraid. They may be afraid because all of their pigs went down the hill. And they were afraid he was going to take away the rest of their income, their way of making a living. Or if you think about it, the Jewish people didn't eat the pigs, but the Roman army did. All of those pigs were there to feed the oppressing army. We cannot make them angry, they said. We fear the oppressors, but we fear grace even more. Because when Jesus walks into a situation, people change. When Jesus walks into a situation, people can have a name. So whatever the environment, wherever you are, whoever you are, Jesus can heal you. And for us, we have to remember, we cannot be like those townspeople who left the madman crying in the cemetery and ignored him as just that crazy guy. Because the minute we label somebody as just something, we've taken away the personal. Because we don't know what their pain came from. We don't know from whence it came. But we do know who can take it away. And we have the job of reaching out to them and introducing them to the Master of Mercy, to Jesus, who looks beneath the crazy, scary, naked surface, to the human, to the personal below. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.